You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. It is Friday, September the 12th of 2025. The time is 6:53 here live from our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Currently cloudy skies and 54 degrees here in downtown Wausau. Some fog out there as well, so if you're hitting the road, be aware there's some areas of some rather dense fog in central Wisconsin. In fact, there is a dense fog advisory in effect today until 10 a.m. So again, early this morning, dense fog advisory in effect as we get into our Friday, into our weekend, and not a bad day weather-wise. Once that fog breaks up, look for some partly sunny skies and a high near 76, and then a warm weekend. A little bit of a chance of some rain in the overnight hours, but otherwise pretty dry as we will have temperatures up near 80 degrees both Saturday and Sunday. I am Chad Holmes. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Wrightlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Very happy to welcome back across the way behind the glass our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. It's nice to be back.
Well, how did it go? You left after the show on Wednesday, went down to Chicago, see the Doobie Brothers as part of a big musical extravaganza Wednesday night. How did it go?
Oh my gosh, it was a lot of fun. The opening act for the Doobie Brothers was one of my dad's favorite bands, the Coral Reefer Band, and I played with Jimmy Buffett, and we actually got to the concert we had a few issues of getting into the stadium. We were able to catch most of the opening act, and then we were able to be there for the whole Doobie Brothers experience, and the show itself was just absolutely fantastic. A lot of great music, a lot of people were standing and singing along and dancing, just having a great time. They were dressed up as traditional parrot heads, myself included. I had a parrot head hat on, and I was having a lot of fun. And the and just the music itself was just, it was feel good music that made you want to dance and just, you know, forget about the world for a little while and just have fun. And honestly, overall, it was a really great experience, and I'm really glad I went with my dad.
Fantastic. Terrific. Great to hear. We had on the program yesterday Sean Wright, who had told me after he was done, he was heading over to Lambeau Field last night to see the Packers Thursday night football take on the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, and they won.
And the Packers did win. Another W for Green Bay. Now a little bit of a break before they hit the field again a week from Sunday at Cleveland. But last night, 27-18, the Packers defeated Washington. And the Packers were pretty dominant. Washington late in the game was able to finally get a little offense going, but up until then, the Packer defense really put the clamps on the Washington offense. Washington had just 230 yards in the game. The Packers had 440 yards. Big night for quarterback Jordan Love. He had 292 yards passing and two touchdowns. Josh Jacobs, solid as always on the ground with 84 yards and a touchdown. And that made him the first Packer in the long, more than century history of the Green Bay Packer franchise to score a touchdown on the ground in 10 consecutive games. So there's an early number, but that will not be the number for the day a little bit later on. So good one for the Packers. We'll talk more about the Packers win over Washington when we are joined by Paul Miklik for our Wisconsin sports segment. Mm-hmm. Coming up in about an hour, he'll be back with us at 7:52 this morning. Talk Packers, talk the Badgers at Alabama coming up tomorrow. The Brewers getting set to open up a series this weekend after losing three in a row at Texas. So one of the rare times
it was
the Brewers.
Really tough.
Yeah, the Brewers still in good shape, but still want to try to snap that losing streak tonight. So lots to talk about with Paul Miklik coming up. He'll be busy tonight as his Newman Catholic High School football team is in action taking on Niagara. Tom Weaver will be back with us first time this season with Tom Weaver on the call. He will be on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and the Civic Media app. Newman hosting Niagara, 6:40 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff. Meantime, live right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa, by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I am taking the short road trip over to D.C. Everest as the Wausau West Warriors take on the D.C. Everest Evergreens at Steam Stadium. Both teams looking for a second straight win to start the Wisconsin Valley Conference season. Great rivalry game. I'll be on the air from DCE starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. So big night of high school football, and that Newman-Niagara game will also air on 98.9 WXCO on tape delay following the Wausau West game. But again, you can catch it live with Tom on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and the Civic Media app. Coming up, top of the hour, news update. We'll get the latest news headlines from around the country, around the world, around the state, and around the Wausau area. Plus, a look at the weather forecast for the weekend, and Mike Clemens will have the latest from Titletown with the sports report as well. With Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and we'll have more with Pat Kreitlow after the news here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Of course, this week, perhaps the biggest news story that has been taking much of the wavelength of media nationally is the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. It has caused ripples throughout the country, including here in central Wisconsin. A story that you've heard here on 98.9 WXCO News is the removal or the resignation or the firing, however you may want to term it, of the executive director of the Wausau River District, Callie Wolk. She had made a social media post indicating a lack of remorse about Mr. Kirk's death, and that led to a lot of backlash and threats of boycotts of local businesses served by the Wausau River District. So after the threats of the protest, word came out that Cassie Wolk, who had been serving in that role since May of 2024, has been announced that she is not now in that position. What happened was that she had a link to a news story about Charlie Kirk's assassination with three hand clap emojis and the words "well deserved."
Oh gosh.
At least two additional posts appeared on her social media pages defending her stance. And in exchange with a reader, she called Kirk a fascist who only stands for the interests of the wealthy and the white. Commenters then, according to WasapilotandReview.com, on all sides of the political spectrum, quickly condemned her words on social media. The original post was removed, but screenshots reposted hundreds of times by outraged folks. And the River District then made the announcement that she was not part of the Wausau River District. Again, a nonprofit organization that manages the city's downtown business improvement district. Wolk did respond in an email to the Wausau Pilot and Review, saying, "I deeply regret a personal social media post I made regarding the recent death of a public figure. My words were inappropriate, and I understand that they caused pain and outrage. I want to be clear, I do not condone violence in any form, regardless of political belief or identity. The sentiment I expressed was harmful and does not reflect who I strive to be as a person or as a leader. I take full accountability for the harm my post has caused to our community. I sincerely apologize to those I have hurt and to the many people who put their trust in me to represent downtown Wausau with integrity. My personal views do not reflect the values of the Wausau River District. The post I shared and the sentiment behind it are not representative of the downtown businesses, community partners, or stakeholders we serve." Number one, it just shows again, you have to be intelligent when it comes to social media.
Agreed.
It was a stupid post. That's the first thing. It was just dumb. I do find, though, that many on the right-hand side of the aisle are just looking for these opportunities. And it's not, that is not the only person that is being picked at in terms of social media posts. I find it ironic that free speech warriors on the right are out there combing every social media posting to see who they can bring down in the aftermath of this tragedy. Mm. I do find that the idea of those who consistently ridicule the idea of cancel culture have been those who are out front when it comes to cancel culture. I find it ironic that one of the folks quoted in the Wausau Pilot and Review story, Jamie Weiland, a former Weston trustee, told the Wausau Pilot in an email, quote, "It's hard to call this a community for all when someone in a leadership position posts such demonic and hateful content." The idea of community for all was swatted away by those who are most outraged in this situation. So I find it ironic that they would bring up community for all in ridiculing somebody in this way. I find a lot of the coverage to be not totally 100% in the tradition of accurate journalism. I find that the Packers holding a moment of silence last night for Charlie Kirk to be a little bit odd. You don't see them holding moments of silence for other figures who have been ripped away from their family and friends in violence with guns. I think that pointing out Charlie Kirk's record of racism, hatred, is not inappropriate as well. There's no excuse for violence, but I just find that there is a almost making him into a deity here that is incorrect. I just think that the entire picture needs to be painted as well.
Yeah.
But again, be smart with your social media. Don't be stupid. And that was just stupid. You got
to
be.
If you wouldn't say it face to face to someone, you really shouldn't say it online.
Or, in this case, I think that's a little story, different. The time is 7:30. Time for an information update here on 98.9 WXEO. WXEO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXEO. Online at WXEO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO, and on the Civic Media app. Cloudy skies, 55 degrees currently at our downtown studios, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. It is Friday morning, heading towards the weekend. Another big sports weekend, maybe not as big as normal because one of the big games was last night. But to talk all about it, we're joined by Newman Catholic High School head football coach Paul Miklik. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Chad. What do they call it? Like Victory
Friday.
Yeah. Don't they on Monday?
Two
of them in 1 week.
I know. It's like when I talked to Johnny Gray back in the day, he would always say Victory Monday, and then he would say Victory Friday if they played on Thursday. So not bad. I mean, in the last week, but since we talked, I mean, these were not two easy games. These are two playoff teams, and they were able to take care of business. And, of course, you like to take care of business on your home field. But impressive against Detroit on Sunday, impressive against Washington, really held that offense that I remember back in the playoffs. This Washington offense went up and down the field like a hot knife through butter against Detroit. Defensively outstanding, offensively nearly 300 yards for Jordan Love. Some injury issues, but at the same time, the Packers between the lines really have done a nice job.
Yeah, you had a win. You know, I know we talked last week, and it was a big game, right? The reality of it is they had a hold serve. They have to keep that home field and against two very good teams, mm-hmm. two teams that could be division champs at the end of the day, and to do that, they held serve. And you hate to say that because it was two really good teams. That's the reality of it. They lose one of those two games, that puts more pressure on those road games. It puts, they have to start winning a lot of games. They put themselves in the talk of being a very good team. Obviously, all those talking heads have jumped on, and their defense like you said, shut down two very good defenses. The injury front. It is what it is. It is football, and you're hoping that Watson possibly comes back after the bye, or that fifth or sixth week. It'd be the sixth or seventh week with that bye in there, and that's when you kind of hope that maybe he gets back. And you're going to lose guys during the course of the one that really scared me was when Kraft was down. He's doing it not just with catching, he's doing it with blocking, he's doing it with he's a weapon that they can use and put different matchups and things like that, playing inside the game. So that was huge to see him get back up.
Well, the next topic was going to be Kraft, because he's starting to become the kind of influence that we saw for many years with, I think, Travis Kelce with Kansas City, in terms of within the whole offensive weaponry. Having that kind of tight end can take an offense to that next level. When you have a good quarterback, very good quarterback, hopefully, receivers that can be dangerous, and then you add that tight end, and along with a good running game as well. But Kraft, boy, I mean, he's stepping up and becoming, as you said, this weapon, this really impressive figure. Only his third year. I mean, he's really just continues to take those steps, and he's got an edge to him. I remember during training camp, there was a practice where LaFleur kind of said something. He didn't really care for it, and he's the kind of guy that seems to have an edge in a good way.
He does. Funny you bring that up, because I know Coach Grundy was down at one of the practices earlier in the season, and he comes back and he tells me, he goes, I like that guy. He plays with what you just said, an edge, and he plays with a little moxie, a little got a little fire in the belly, and he's going to do it. He's going to do it hard. He's going to do it full speed. He's going to do things that kind of way. And from a coaching aspect, they have, it's a matchup problem. It's a matchup problem when they put him in there. Musgrave got a couple catches last night. I think so. Their tight ends probably got about half the catches too. Running backs than the receivers. So that's why the read thing. I'm more concerned about the two guys that might be our two best linemen that were out, and to do what they did. Concerned that.
I mean, if the line starts to crumble, that affects the run game, it affects the pass game, it affects everything. As opposed to maybe a receiver, where hopefully you have a receiver that's able to maybe at least 80-90% of the receiver. Boy, you lose a lineman, the cracks get bigger quicker, don't they?
They get, you can't hide those, because that's, like you said, they're for both. And not that Reed's loss is not huge.
No,
and,
no.
And hopefully he's one of those guys where maybe they put him on there at the end of the year, he's back for the playoff push. Because it's a couple month injury, there's not a doubt about that. And so hopefully maybe you get him back in December and then get him that. So it'll be interesting to see, but you don't want to lose those linemen, especially when you just paid how much money for. I mean, that's a lot of money that was sitting on the bench, and there's a reason why they're getting it.
And also Micah Parsons, when you look at the defense, I mean, they, again, for most of that game, the yardage numbers for Washington were nothing, and they were able to get a little something late. But even beyond the box score, he was drawing penalties. That's something that sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. He was doing things to really throw off, it felt like, Washington.
You know what they're winning? They're winning the game without turnovers. That's for the last year, they had to have those turnovers defensively to make that defense look good. I don't think they had a turnover last night. They didn't force one. And the week before, I think they only had one. Did they even have one last week? They had an interception. So that is, they're winning without turnovers. Just think when they start getting turnovers and flipping that over, that's going to be the difference. They're winning without turnovers. Think about that. That's when's the last time we had defense like that?
The last time they made this big kind of acquisition, a guy named Reggie White came to town.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. We'll have more with Paul Micklegg coming up at 8:22. Top of the hour news update coming up, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. It is WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Talking Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklegg, and Badgers in Alabama tomorrow. And watching last week, again, it's like it's never easy for the Badgers anymore. There's never one of those games where you just, by halftime be able to pop the feet up on the table and say, okay, they got this one in hand. Even last week against a Middle Tennessee team that I don't think is going to win more than three games this season, they still have to struggle for a while.
It just didn't look, when you're watching the Packers game, the first two, for example, you feel that they're in control.
Yep.
And which is a good thing, obviously. I mean, you want to be in that. When you watch Wisconsin, you never felt they were in control. The whole game, you never felt they were in control. And then the concern would be, if you can't control them, who can you control? They never really have looked smooth.
No. And even that, I mean, the first drive, they were being driven right down the field. And it was like some poor calling for Middle Tennessee. And then the Badgers took advantage of a couple of big plays. But this is going to be... I know Alabama struggled against Florida State, but boy, the Badgers are going to have to find a level that we have not seen in order, I think, to be competitive, especially on the road.
When's the last time that you're going into a game and go, man, hopefully you don't lose by 35?
Because you normally feel like, okay, you can see it.
You can see something.
I don't see it here. Do you see anything here?
I want to sit here because I am the biggest homer ever in the history of mankind. And I don't see how they're going to do. They're going to be able to stop them defensively in the air, on the ground, how they're going to be able to run the ball, how they're going to be able to throw the ball, even though the young man's playing pretty good. O'Neal. I mean, he started before, so it's not like he's just coming off the street here. He has started at college,
right.
And but he's gonna have. I don't see guys just running free. I don't see easy passes. I don't see anything. What's going to be there? What are they attacking? It'll be interesting to see what they are. Maybe I wouldn't be a great to see him come out there and
the first drive and just
and lose
take it down
and
the
lose
field.
Even 28-21 or something like that. I think that would be
kind of like Oregon
great.
Last year, where he came in really feeling, whoa, Oregon's been number one team in the country, and they actually in many ways outplayed them and gave themselves a chance to win because of the defense.
I would say it was the defense. It was not.
Yeah, it was not the offense.
It was not the because he got fired the game after that.
Yeah, yes, he did.
So that would be a. I would like to see not 13-6. I would like to see 28-21.
Right.
Just because do
good things on both sides.
Do good sides, yes. Because then you at least can have balance and complimentary, football everybody talks about. You can have some of that. That would be awesome if they could do that. I just don't know. Man, that's it. I mean, are you going to watch that after Sully's show?
Of course. I mean, at least for a while. Hopefully they'll still be close enough by the time I get home that I'll want to watch at least for a little bit.
Because last year it fell apart in that end of the second quarter.
Because they came out okay. They kind of moved the ball a little bit early.
Well, they lost their quarterback in the first one of the first drives, and it was one of those things where fall apart.
When it did fall apart, it fell apart. And unfortunately, and frankly, I think that Alabama having a loss does not help the Badgers because they know they can't stub their toe anymore.
Can they even stub their toe about not that they got to dominate the game?
Yeah.
Because they're going to get a loss or two in their conference.
So it's one of those situations where they know they have to come out and play very well. So there's not going to be no looking past the Badgers towards their conference at all, I don't think either.
Because that's their big – I mean, they're not going to look at that last week's and go, hey, they beat that team 73-0. Nobody's going to care about
right.
that.
This is a
But if they
power,
beat Wisconsin 73-0, yes,
and
that, that's a whole
And the SEC and
story.
The Big Ten have a little rivalry going on right now because the Big Ten is trying to act like they're better than the SEC, and the SEC thinks they're better than the Big Ten. So these kind of games I do think have significance when you look ahead to either seeding for the playoff or even getting into the playoff as well.
Correct.
Brewers lost 3 in a row in Texas. They opened a series with St. Louis, but Cubs are still 5.5 games behind, 5 in the loss column. I was shocked that they lost the third game because I thought, well, okay, the Brewers don't get swept because that's the way it feels. They don't get swept.
When I walked out of here last week, I said they got to go 4-2.
But also, though, I said that I don't think the Cubs are capable of taking full advantage, even if the Brewers do take a step back, and I think we found that out.
Yeah.
Cubs are 5-5 in the last 10. The Brewers are only 4-6 in the last 10. So actually, the Brewers did leave the door open for Chicago, and they weren't able to take advantage.
If they would have went 4-2 and got that one extra game, I know it sounds simple. It was a big... But the game against Philly, and that they lost in the third game,
yeah,
and losing getting swept here is going to cost them the number one seed. You want to put a bet on it?
All right.
With Philly.
87 and 60, 89 and 58. Brewers are getting the number one seed. Phillies have some injury issues of their own.
The Phillies just played their best opponent, though. That was the Mets.
Yeah, they swept them. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep. Yep.
You know,
so
but the Mets are struggling. They might blow their playoff berth, and David Stern's genius is.
You want to see? They're not going to blow. They're not that. They're going to blow it. That
it's like two games ahead now of.
Is it Cincy or
Cincy
and San Fran?
Cincy's one game back in the loss column, and San Fran's one game back in the loss column. So it's becoming interesting.
And Cincinnati, guess who they still play? Both the Cubs and the Brewers.
Oh,
so they're gonna be got a lot to play for. I'm telling you this right now, they will lose that number one seed.
All right, we're gonna see.
I don't want them to.
I know, but your guy last night, 14-0 in the Packers, and you're still looking for. You're always never.
Hey, what did Matt LaFleur say at halftime?
I know.
What did he say?
I know,
we left a lot of points
on the. But you're that way. You got that mentality that you want to keep hitting that accelerator, which is a good thing. You know, that's what you got to do.
Got to finish.
Well, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Chad. You guys have a great weekend.
We are going to be back the Monday. Ian. Oh, geez, I forgot the number for the day. Well, we're out of time.
Okay.
We'll do it Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.